Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hey, anybody excited? They already been in the presence of God. Amen. That's the good thing about God. He will meet us and allow his presence to do the rest. Amen. I'm talking today. I'm going to continue on what I was preaching last week on Saturday. I've been talking about, what are we doing? And if Pastor Daryl was here, he'll be, what are we doing? You know, Pastor Daryl, he has those emotional roller coasters when he's up here. And I just love Pastor Daryl. Just growing up, seeing him preach, just seeing what God would do through him is powerful. Amen. But we got to ask ourselves, what are we doing? With the call, with the mandate that God has given us, what are we doing? Many times we get caught up in our own schedules, our own to-do list, right? Everybody got a to-do list. And for some reason, at times, God gets moved to the side for our own to-do list, right? Come on, everybody can say amen. It's okay. I've done it. I will say that I do that on my own. I got schedules. I'm trying to do things with my kids, trying to make sure I'm a good father, which is a good thing. But we can't mistake good things for God things. Amen. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to get into this word. What are we doing? Oh, Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for your word. I pray to God that your word will go forth, that your word will speak, that your word will manifest. Dear God, that it will show us the direction that we should be walking in. Dear God, I pray that you remove me, dear God, and allow your word to speak beyond me. Dear God, let your spirit even speak beyond what I say. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last time I was up here, I talked about doers of the word. It's important not only to be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And in doing of the word, it talked about what good religion consisted of, right? And it said good religion consists of taking care of the orphans, taking care of the widows, right? And, you know, the other part was to remain unspotted from the world. And I feel like the church has done a good job, for the most part, of trying to remain unspotted from the world, right? Like, I'm not going to deal with those people. I can't do it. But I feel like we miss sometimes being there to help the orphans, being there to help the widows, right? These are good things that God consists and wants us to do. I also talked about when I was here, I was just talking about how, you know, we have family reunions. Anybody ever been at a family reunion and people are like, we don't ever see you, right? And then sometimes it's like they be punching that bag. I haven't seen you in years. And it's like, man, well, if we're the body of Christ, let us go see them. Let us move our schedules aside for at times so that we can do and be the hands and feet of God. Amen. The last thing I said right before I ended was, what you speak and think becomes your actions. Your actions are what you do, right? We all know that's a, what is that, Dad? And it's a verb, right? Verb is something that you do. See, some people think Christians is just a noun, but Christian is also a verb word, okay? What that means is there's something that you must do with that statement when you say, I am a believer, I'm a follower of Christ. There's something that must go with that. Amen? I mean, we've gotten to the place where, oh, I'm a Christian. That just means I go to church. That just means I pray over my food just so, you know, I have my Christian insurance so I just don't go to hell. But God requires you to do. Somebody say, God requires you to do. Look at your neighbor, say, do something, do something. That's very important. Now I'm going to open up the word. And as I was studying for this, this is a passage that the Lord put in my spirit. I got a few passages, but I want to get to this one especially. And this is the early church in Acts chapter 3. This is right after they received the Holy Spirit. All right. So they got the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus actually instructed them not to do anything until they got the Holy Spirit. Okay. So when they were like, what are we doing? They were just waiting. Okay. They were waiting upon the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit came, we're going to see what happened in this chapter 3. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. So I'm going to stop right there. I just like when you start reading the scripture, it just opens your eyes. They had a certain hour of prayer. You see that? We talk about doing something. If we want to be powerful, you have to have a certain hour of prayer. Okay? We open it up and it says, now Peter and John went up together. Not only did they have an hour of prayer, but they prayed together. Church, if we want to be powerful, we hear people say it all the time. The people that pray together, what? Come on, say it like you mean it. People that pray together. Maybe Al Green was praying with somebody. I don't know. He came up with the song, Let's Stay Together, right? Maybe he was praying with somebody. But I don't know about you, when you are praying with somebody, it starts to form a different bond. Amen? I remember I went to pray with a couple of my brothers, Chamian, Richard Mullen, and Andre Benjamin, and we started just doing prayers together. It would be late nights. You know, we could stay up. The kids were gone, or they were with somebody else. And we would just pray. And there was different prayer requests, and there was another brother named Wendell that would come as well, and Alvin. So we would be praying, and as we pray, we would have certain prayer requests that we would pray for each other for. And guess what? The next time, within a month, God would move on one of those prayer requests. And we were just like, wow, this is crazy. And we're celebrating together because we're seeing God's answers to our prayers. All right, I'm going to give you one of the prayer requests that I had. My daughter, my oldest daughter, she was getting ready to go into kindergarten at that time. And a prayer that I had been praying by myself for years was, God, bless me with the finances to send my child to Christian school. Okay? All right, so this is, I want to say, just give you a timeline. School is about to start in September. This is July. Okay? And I don't have it. And on top of that, they had just raised our homeowner's dues, so it cost me more money. And I'm like, okay, God, you're going to have to do something. So we're praying together, and I'm like, hey, I just believe that God's going to do it. I've been praying it on it, and he's going to do it, okay? That's the attitude you got to have. When you pray, just expect God to do something, amen? So while we were praying together at a certain hour of prayer together, we prayed this prayer. And in the meantime, what I was doing is trying to get a modification on my home loan. Anybody ever dealt with that before? If you have, I hope it goes fast for you, because that home modification took 3 years. But can I testify that just before Kayla was getting ready to get to school, they dropped it just enough so I can put her in school. Amen. So I came back the next month like, man, you guys don't know what God did. We've been praying together. I'm excited because God moved because we prayed together. Somebody say pray together. What are you doing? That's one step. Somebody, we can start praying together. It says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried when they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeking Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. Okay, so this is very interesting. This man did not go in the temple, but he sat outside the temple asking for help. That's very interesting, because most of the time we want them to come in. If they come in, we can help you. But this man couldn't walk. And here's something that I don't even understand. How come nobody that was going into the temple carried him into the temple, right? But nonetheless, there's going to be people outside the gathering place that are asking for help. And I don't know, there's many times where I really feel called to be outside of this place. I really feel like the most important ministry that I've ever done has happened outside the church. I don't know about you. Has that happened when you've prayed for somebody outside the church has gotten healed? Yeah. When you spoke a word, when you were being led by the Spirit of God and you spoke a word, it's like for them, the lights turned on. Right. So I'm just saying, I know for me, God has called me to not just come here and edify, but God wants us to help those that are in need of help. What are we doing? It says in verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Expecting to receive something from them. That's powerful, right? Because I believe that the world, even though they are not in the church, understand that the church has power. Right? Now, he might have just expected some money because you go into the temple. We know that they got offering. Hallelujah. The people in the world know that we do offering. Right? And that's probably some people's hang up. Oh, they take an offering. I've been to churches and they take 3 or 4 offerings. I'm not with that personally. But whatever got to get done to help the body of Christ. Okay? But what I am saying is they are looking. The world is looking for something. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now what I like about this is he didn't just get up and run somewhere. He ran into the temple, right? You see this? When they are looking for something and they receive something from God, they come into the temple. They come into the presence of God because they are under the understanding that God is a good God. Amen? Yeah, somebody said, yes, he is. We know that song, and I don't have the organ going, but it's all good. But he received something and walked in. And guess what? It says in verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, this is powerful, because when the world sees something happen to somebody that they know has been down for so long, but they see something happen, they are filled with amazement. And they start to scratch their head and start to wonder what happened. Right? We're talking about doing something. When you do something and impact the world by just being obedient to God, because that's what Peter did. I don't have no money on me right now. He might have had an ATM card. We don't know. Right? But he said, I don't have any money on me, but I have something that's better. Because, see, I can give you this money and tomorrow you'll be right back in the same place asking the same questions. But when I allow you to feel the presence and the power of God, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. Not only did he walk spirit in the physical, but I believe his spiritual walk began to start there as well. Amen. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. So now we're going to see what happens in the rest of this chapter. It says, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's porch, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Somebody say strong. Whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So what is Peter doing? He's explaining where this came from. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from me studying my word continually. It didn't come from me fasting and praying. It came from God through us. Because we want to do something to honor God. Amen? So when you go, it's very important to let people know this ain't my strength. There's nothing good inside of me, right? Only the righteousness of Christ. And because of our obedience, he was able to move on this behalf. Verse 17, he says, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Now here's key, verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now that's a word right there. That the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So not only do you repent and you're forgiven of your sins, but God refreshes you. Now, I don't know about you. Yesterday, I needed a refresh. My kids was acting up. Things was going on. I had to help somebody move. I was tired. I went home after church and just went to sleep at 9 o'clock. And I don't normally do that. But I was like, I'm done. I'm shutting it down. Right? Because I needed a refresh. But when you are in the presence of God, I believe we experienced that today. He refreshed us. While we were worshiping, while we were praising, because we had a repentant heart, he converted us. Now we can be refreshed. See, I believe that's the point of coming to church, to be refreshed. It's not coming to sing songs, to hear a good word and eat some food. Sometimes they had fried chicken. I don't know. How come we don't do fried chicken after service? I'm just saying. My dad didn't even look at me. He's like, "What? Now you want me to cook?" Anyway, and it says, and that he, it says, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away everyone of you from your iniquities. Amen. Now, what happened is after they did something and as they spoke, there was revelation. Because how many of you know that even today, some people that haven't accepted Jesus Christ that are amongst the Jewish faith, they still believe a Messiah is coming. I remember I dropped some people off at a Jewish synagogue and I was like, what do you do about the Messiah? I'm just curious. I mean, because you guys are still practicing what you were practicing back in the day, which is nothing wrong with that, but you need the Messiah. And they have different things, just as Christianity, there's different denominations. There's different branches. Some of them believe there's no need for a Messiah all of a sudden. I don't know how that happened. right? Some of them believe, oh, if we just continue in the teachings, we'll find them. So it's our prayer that God would grant Israel the understanding of who Christ is. Because guess what? Even in the last days, that's going to happen. They're going to return back to him. Amen? But this revelation came to these people that were seeking out in their tradition, just going to the tabernacle. Now, see, some of them are going to the tabernacle to pray to the true living God because they understood who he was. Others were just in the tradition. Some go, some do. What are we doing? Amen? What are we doing? I'm going to say a few more things. And after that, you guys can read it in chapter 4. They were arrested for preaching the gospel. Okay? But guess what? That arrest did not hold them down. Matter of fact, it strengthened them because they said, thank God we are worthy to face arrest. Even they were flogged. We said, thank God because we are worthy of the call of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not something popular amongst the church because we like to be comfortable, right? If it's too cold, turn the heat up. If it's too hot, turn the fans on. Open the windows. We want to be comfortable. But the disciples said, hey, man, we're thankful to be worthy of the cause of suffering for the gospel's sake. Amen? So I'm going to say this. Our power comes from a direct connection to God. We talked about the power that they had. When I look at this scripture, you know, we all might not walk by somebody and they are healed, because you even see that in the passage later on that Peter's shadow healed people. That's powerful to me. I'm like, woohoo, I want to see that. But God might not have that happen for me, right? God might have me just pray for somebody. God, there's different things that we must do in obedience to God to see his power. But it comes from a direct connection with God. I don't know about you, Sister Darcene, but the more that you are connected to God, the more that you see him move, right? The more that we are connected to God, when we hear him, we can walk in obedience in what he is telling us to do. Get connected, because that's where our power comes from. There's two scriptures that I saw in the scripture that just talked about being strong. It always said something in Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:1, it says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. All right, so we're talking about our strength comes from Christ. We have to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So even when we preach, we must preach it with the grace of God, knowing that that could be us very easily. But thank God for his revelation. Then Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the, come on, say it, in the Lord and the power of his might, not in my own self. Because me in my own strength, I will fail. Me in my own strength, I can't heal anybody. Amen? Me in my own strength, I can't save anybody. But it's the power that we receive from Christ that we share with the world that can help bring them to the understanding of who he is. And all we do, we must be connected to God. Amen? My last, very last scripture we're going to read, and I'm going to get out of here, says, watch, stand fast in the faith. This is in 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. I'm sorry. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave and be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. You got it up there? Both of them. Put them up. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. So when it comes to what are we doing, are you moving in love? Are we moving in, if this person don't get out of my way, you know I got something to do. Golly, praise the Lord. Right? I mean, you know how we Christians do. We won't cuss you out, but we'll let you know we weren't feeling you. And then give God the honor. Hallelujah. He's lucky I'm saved. Because I might have took him out and, You know how we do. We got a testimony, so we share it. But everything we do, we must do it in love. So that the world can see, the Bible says that they will know that we are His by our love for one another. So I saw many things we can begin to do in our walk with God to make an impact in this world. Amen? Let us move in that. Heavenly Father, I just pray to God that your word will speak to us. Dear God, that it would lead us and guide us into who you called us to be, dear God. That I pray to God that we would all be strong because we are all connected to you, dear God. I pray to God that we would hear you clearer, dear God, as we make a definite decision to get closer to you, oh God. That we walk in boldness, in strength, and in power. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip up your hand. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.